Gareth tilted his head, raised his eyebrows. She looked at the dangling scrambler, realizing that it must have another of Pamela's GPS units in it. Bastard.
I'm fine, she said. Ollie, though, is definitely not a plus.
Shall I send him home?
Make sure you do. If you don't, it's a deal-breaker.
Done, he said, and was gone. She closed her phone. Work, she said.
They couldn't have reached you before, he said. I turned on a jammer when I took you upstairs. You might have been wearing a wire. Left it on until you were aboard. Should have told you earlier, but I've a one-track mind,
indicating the rifle in its bed of gray foam.
What are you planning on doing with that, Gareth? I think it's time you told me.
He picked it up. It seemed to flow around his hands, his thumb actually appearing through one fluidly carved hole.
9 shots, he said. Bolt action, 1 minute. Evenly spaced along 40 feet of Corten steel. 1 foot above the bottom of the container. That foot clears an interior frame, which we couldn't penetrate.
He looked at his watch.
But look, he said, you can watch me do it. I can't prepare and explain it to you at the same time, not in any detail.
He told you the truth, you know. We aren't going to injure anyone. He was attaching the black bag to the rifle. He lay it back on its gray foam.
Time we get you into your apron, he said, reaching into the canvas bag and bringing out thick folds of pale blue plastic.
It slid out to its full length.
What's that?
Radiologist's apron, he said, putting a blue padded loop over her head and coming behind her, where she heard him unfasten, then fasten Velcro. She looked down at the blue and breastless tube her body had become and understood why the bag had been so heavy.
Aren't you going to wear one?
I, he said, taking something much smaller from the bag, am making do with this butterfly. He fastened the thing behind his neck, the bulk of it beneath his chin.
Thyroid protection.
By the way, would you mind turning the ring off on your phone?
She got it out and did so.
He was fitting a foot-long black nylon jacket around the rifle's fat tube. She looked at it more closely and saw loops of nylon webbing. He looked at his watch, checked the dosimeter again, this time standing in the middle of the studio space, went to the iron-framed window. It was divided into 5 sets of mullions, she saw, but only the ones on either end opened. He opened the one nearest the room's corner. She felt a cool breeze, laced with something that smelled like electricity.
3 minutes, he said. Go.
He knelt beside the black plastic case and opened it, removed a 3-inch slab of dull gray lead, and set this on the floor. There were 9 holes drilled in the block of lead that filled the case. A row of 5, another of 4. Twists of something like saran wrap protruded from each hole. One after another, using his left hand, he plucked them out, 9 film-wrapped, bottlenecked cartridges, placing each one on the palm of his right hand. He got up, cradling them carefully, and moved quickly to the workbench, where he put them down, with a muffled clink of brass, on the gray foam. He unwrapped them, placing each one in its black nylon loop, the way Mexican bandits wore bullets across their chests in cartoons. He looked at his watch.
1 minute to midnight.
He picked up the rifle and pointed it at the wall. His thumb moved. An intense point of red light appeared on the wall, vanished.
You're going to shoot the container.
An affirmative grunt.
What's in it?
He walked to the window, the rifle cradled at his waist. He looked back at her, the blue thyroid shield like a bad turtleneck.
$100 million. In a set of fake pallets along the floor, about 14 inches deep, little over a ton of U.S. hundreds.
But why? She said. Why are you shooting it?
Remington Silvertips, hollowed out.
He opened the breech, extracted a cartridge from its nylon loop, and chambered it. Inside each one, a brachytherapy capsule. Cancer therapy localizes the effect on malignant tissue, spares the healthy. He looked at his watch. They pre-plant tubes, insert the capsules, highly radioactive isotopes. He raised the rifle to his shoulder, its barrel out the window now, his back to her. "Cesium in these," she heard him say. Then a buzzer or electric bell began to sound from the port, and he was firing, ejecting, reloading, firing again, with a smooth, machine-like rhythm, until the black loops were empty, and the buzzer, as if by some sympathetic magic, had ceased.